Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hello, Moto America fans. Welcome to this latest edition of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. I am Bice, and well, he's to my left in my screen, but who knows where he is as you guys see him. But Paul Carruthers, our communications manager, is here. And this week, we're speaking with Nolan Lampkin, who is our 2023 Superbike Cup champion and defending that crown this year. He races for Visit Indiana Tom Wood Power Sports on a BMW S1000RR. Nolan, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on. Love being on.
Yeah, man, you had a good weekend last weekend, Nolan. I mean, you were, you know, give us the rundown on it. I know at least in one race you were the number one Superbike Cup, if not in both of them.
Yeah, so this weekend was quite nice. We were racing in the Superbike Cup. There's certain weekends where it's Stock 1000 and Superbike Cup. This weekend was just the Superbike Cup weekend, which was quite nice. And yeah, we finished up first place in the second race, and we were second place in the first race. There are some kind of different things that we've been working on with the bike, and the rain made it a little bit easier. So yeah, and we got some good stuff going for Barber, and overall was a fun weekend for sure. Ended up top 10, I think, in Superbike 2 in that second race, which is super cool.
Yeah. So they always say that rain's a great equalizer. I always find that the good guys are good no matter what, especially the real top guys, as you know as well. But did it help you a little bit? Does it help you? Do you feel more competitive when it rains?
For us, there was just a few things that we were working on at Atlanta, and it didn't play as big of a factor in the rain. So we know what we can do kind of going forward. And it's an issue that we've had last year at COTA and a little bit at New Jersey. So for us this past weekend, it was good because we were able to try a few different things and figure out what we need to do going forward. But yeah, I like riding in the rain. Like you said, I think all the fast guys are always fast in any conditions. And for me, being able to be in the rain, it also helps close that gap a little bit between superbikes as well, where my bike's not $130,000. A full superbike is. So they've got some different power and different things. They're not maybe able to use it as much in the rain. So for us, it's more of an equalizer in that sense. And yeah, it's been pretty good.
Do you aspire to actually move into a full superbike, or is it kind of out of the question financially, or however that works?
I mean, I'd like to be able to race in Superbike. I think that would be cool. Talked to a few people this weekend, which is also cool with that. For me, been able to run my own team for the last few years and having the support of the state of Indiana with Visit Indiana, super cool. Tom Wood Power Sports as well. For me, I see some different ways on things working. I'd love to be able to go and not have to do all of the management behind the scenes to run the team. So for me, running a team is one thing. To be able to go with someone else, I think would be cool. And racing in a Superbike for that would be cool.
You know, Nolan, so it's interesting about how you picked up this Visit Indiana. You actually had it last year, but now it's like a title. They're a title partner for you. And you know, you're kind of our, well, I'm going to say poster boy, but I don't mean to call you a boy because you're actually a full grown ass man. So, but you're our guy to learn to understand about not only acquiring sponsors, but activating sponsors and keeping them. You do such a good job with that. And I mean, down the road, and this is farther down the road, but I mean, I can definitely see you involved in managing your own team or even doing something in, you know, with us with regard to sponsorship stuff. I know you work with our salespeople a little bit too, but what is that? What is it about you? I mean, I think it's probably the relationships. It's the person that you are that really helps you do such a good job with that. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything's all about the relationships. And for me, I'm fortunate enough to be able to talk to different people and kind of get different information from different people, whether it's a friend of mine, Chuck, or a friend of mine, Alex, or all these different people. I can then basically put it all together. And it's, for me, the relationship's a big thing and showing what I can do. And you mentioned the helmets that we did last year.
Yeah.
I actually got one right here. So,
so good.
For us, we're able to do a couple of custom helmets. And it's nice where, okay, everybody wants to have X, Y, and Z, but you got to show that you're actually able to do anything. So for us, being able to build up on this stuff has been cool. Do stuff with the state's also super cool. I've done a few different events for them And one of the things we did earlier this year, the NBA All-Star game was in Indianapolis. So for that, I was able to have my gear and stuff on display for the crossover event, which was cool. And I remember Moto America had written the story about it, which I was super grateful for. And being able to do those things, I think, are all really cool. And it's being able to do different things where in the racing paddock, you expect to see X, Y, and Z. But if you can do something else, if you're going there, you're expecting to see bikes. But if you see stuff outside of bikes, it kind of sparks your eye. It's something different and something cool that I'm able to keep working on, basically.
Now, there's obviously an advantage from dealing with a state like Indiana that's like, there's a lot of motorsports there, right? I mean, people know what it is when you go to talk to them. How do you get the ball rolling on something like that?
I wish I could say that there's a, you do X, you do Y, you do Z, and you'll get exactly this. Really, it's a lot of luck. I'm really fortunate with the state. The state's super cool. Like you said, it's a motorsports-focused state. So that's one of the reasons why I was thinking about it. So for them, we have so many different races. I mean, it's on my driver's license. There's a picture of a race car on my driver's license. It's like the state emblem. How many states can say that? I think that's really cool. So for us, for me, it's just kind of finding the right person and tried a bunch of different things. And thankful for Tom Wood Power Sports for being able to help give me some of the stuff to help get going. And now having the stuff at the States, super cool. And yeah, excited to see it all grow.
Is the amount of activation that they require, is it, or do you pretty much say, look, I can do this, this, and this, and you already know going in what you can actually pull off for them and what you can't?
It's an interesting question. And that's where I like hearing other racers talk about it too, just to understand kind of more of the scope, because everybody's got different things. And with the state, we have a couple of activations in particular that are kind of the focus. We're going to do some stuff at Mid-Ohio and I think at Road America as well, because being Indiana, we are very centrally located. And I think to have a race here would be really cool. I mean, my brother lives literally across the street from the Speedway. He's the one who painted my helmets. I think being able to have something like that, I think would be cool and something that I'm trying to help in whatever ways that I can from my side.
You know, the times that we've gone to Indianapolis Motor Speedway, we've loved it. I mean, I wish we could do it more. It, you know, there are factors at play there that we don't really, it does, you know, it's sort of above, I guess, our pay grade a little bit. We don't really understand it, whether it's, I think it's that track a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, even with MotoGP, they haven't had it as much as we thought they might, but the road course is actually pretty cool. And to your point, I mean, having one in that location would be good. I'm actually pretty surprised, Nolan, that there aren't any other riders from the state of Indiana other than you. I mean, you represent the state for sure. I can't even remember when there has been a rider from Indiana besides you. Is there anybody else?
There's a handful of riders and there's been more the last few years, which is cool for me. I promote the state pretty well. And I've been doing stuff before any of this partnership with Indiana took place, which I think also is something beneficial too. It's not, hey, if you do this, then I'll do that. It's I'm already doing this stuff already. And that's kind of the stuff that I had said is for certain things, people used to call me Indy. Now they're calling me Mr. Indiana, which I think is fun. But there's a few racers, a friend of mine, Solly, Dominic Doyle used to live here. I think he's now in New York City. But for me, I think the community aspect is huge and I'll ride and invite a bunch of people and try and get people out just because it's being able to build more people and that helps the whole sport overall. And if I'm the one right now, cool. And if we can help get more out there, I think that's great too.
Yeah, and it's low, like you said, it's so centrally located. It's like the ideal place to live to be a Moto America racer because you're halfway to everywhere, right? I mean, we're probably in the worst spot, or not Sean, but I'm probably in the worst spot in California because it's like anywhere you go, it's far, you know, except for Laguna Seca, obviously. But so I could see that as a real advantage for you from cost standpoint all the way down to just time.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, every racetrack's pretty much within like 8 to 10 hours. New Jersey's the furthest one and it's 11. Brainerd's maybe 10. But it's like 8 hours to me at the end of the day is not really that big of a deal. To drive from California to get to a racetrack, like you said, you get to Laguna. But to get to Seattle, which is the other West Coast race, is still a little bit of a hike.
Yeah. So let's talk about your team. You have got the same, essentially same team that you had last year, and I think you've had for a little bit. So your crew chief is Dustin Metter, and his dad, Donnie, works with you guys too. So it really is a total family affair, because your dad, Bill, works with you too. You've got a couple other people. Last weekend, I realized there's somebody that looks a little like your dad from the side, but isn't your dad. So I've got to stop saying hi, Bill, to the guy that isn't really Bill Lampkin. But it's a cool setup, because, I mean, you guys did so well. And I know, you know, Dustin used to work with Westby Racing, actually raced that bike a little bit before they got Matthew Skoltz. And has raced in the past quite a bit with CMRA. So it's good that you have a crew chief who is a rider and is very seasoned. And, you know, Donnie's been around motorcycles his entire life too. So you've got a pretty seasoned crew to work with there. And obviously that's a big part of your success, I'm sure.
Yeah. The crew that I've got is great. And it's being able to have all of the right people kind of around it. As everybody knows, it's getting the right people in the right positions and being able to work with Dustin. We started last year, and his dad, Donnie's been fantastic. Like you mentioned, Dustin had ridden for Westby. He's worked for Westby for years. And I remember him riding the Westby R1. I think it was when they were in Superbike, or it was Super Stock 1000.
Yes.
At New Jersey in the rain, mm-hmm. I think 2016. And that stuff's cool, just because if I'm describing something, he also kind of knows what I'm talking about. And that stuff's been cool, and being able to help kind of grow the whole program. We're also working with Steve Weir with BMW, and he's helping from the electronics side. And in that race on Sunday, this last weekend, Road Atlanta, it was a wet kind of mixed conditions race. And working with Steve was great, because we were able to have a pretty good map in the bike for those changing conditions. And that stuff's huge. For me, it's been kind of getting the right people together. And I'm super thankful for the group of guys that I've got right now. Like you said, my dad, me, my crew chief Dustin, and then his dad Donnie and Steve. It's been cool, and I'm excited to see all the different growth. This last year we dropped pretty much 2 seconds a lap in almost every track we went back to compared to the year before. This wow. year we went half a second faster at Road Atlanta, and we've got different things to be able to work on, which is super cool.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, because you think about super bikes, you know, with all the electronics that they have on them, and they have, you know, the bigger forks, bigger triple clamps, the swing arm, all that kind of stuff. These bikes nowadays, these leader bikes, I mean, it's amazing. And I'm not saying in completely stock form, but stock 1000 spec. It's incredible what the adjustability that you actually have electronically on them. Tell us about that. And how much more does the super bike actually add to it?
Yeah, the electronics are cool. For me, it's nice just to have the stability, so to speak. And we know what's happening and what's not. I've had different things with different bikes in the past and had issues with the BMW. It's been great. Comparing a stock bike to a super bike, obviously there's a lot more that you can do on a super bike. There's certain things that, when we're out on track, I'm like talking to Steve or I'm talking to Dustin. It's like, hey, I need this. And we just can't do it just because it's not within our electronics package. Where on a super bike, there's certain things where you can split up the track, like sectoring it. So you can have this map for this turn and this map for that turn. And it's different for the entire lap. For me, like at Laguna Seca last year, there was some stuff that I was needing in one section that if we put that in there, it would totally screw me out of this other section. So there's certain things kind of like that. One of the funny things from this past weekend in Atlanta was out there with super bikes, and one of the guys that told me after the session is like, yeah, we need to make sure that Nolan remembers that he's not on a super bike. He can't do the same things that a super bike is necessarily doing. He can't brake at the same point. He can't carry that same lean angle, because the brakes are totally different on a stock bike, stock 1000 bike versus a super bike. The chassis is a lot different. The electronics are different. But the overall base package is kind of the same, but there's a lot more that you can do on a super bike.
How different is this? So this is another thing I don't get. Well, let me tell you what my understanding is. So a YZF R1, as I understand it, and probably it's still the case, they have that YZF R1M. So that's a pretty incredible street bike. It's got electronics in the forks and all kinds of things. But as I know it, they don't normally take that bike and turn it into a super bike, because you're going to take most of that stuff off anyway. So right now, BMW has an S1000RR and an M1000RR, and the M1000RR seems to form the basis for the superbike. How different is an S1000RR from an M1000RR that's a stock 1000 spec bike. In other words, would it make any difference if you had an M1000RR that isn't a super bike?
So, like you said, yes, the Yamaha, there is the R1M and then there's the R1 just standard version, and nobody really races the R1M. And that's partially because some of the things that were done to the R1M doesn't really matter to go racing. Like you said, the electronic forks and things like that, to go racing, you pull that stuff out immediately and has no benefit. On the BMW, there's the BMW M1000RR and the BMW S1000RR. And you can race both of those bikes in stock trim or superbike trim. For me, I'm on a BMW S1000RR. And there's a few different changes that are from the S to the M. For me, I've got the S, and so we're going to make the best of the package that we've got.
We'll come back. All right, Sean, let's talk about Road Atlanta till he comes back. Or am I the only one frozen?
But yeah, I mean, we're still here. I don't know. You're back. So
that was me that was frozen.
So yeah, you were yeah. Frozen. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
good. I'm glad.
Everything else is okay.
They don't care what I got to say anyway.
No, so it's okay. It's okay. I mean, Nolan was explaining this difference between the S1000 and the M1000. So continue that, Nolan. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
So the M1000 and the S1000, they're very similar bikes. At the end of the day, the package is very, very similar. There's a few kind of different tweaks here and there, that the chassis is a little different, the engine's a little different compared between the two. But for me, the BMW S1000 worked well last year at some of the different tracks. I mean, we won the Superbike Cup Championship, which is cool. At New Jersey last year, I qualified like 0.2 seconds behind an M1000 full spec Superbike in the dry versus me being on my S, which is super cool. At Brainerd last year, we did really well. And there's kind of different advantages and disadvantages to everything. We've got the S. We're going to make the best of the S. And yeah, should be good.
Good. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for, you know, this is really, I guess, I don't know, lay people, but or civilians, whatever you want to call them. But sometimes it's pretty obvious. But the S and the M are kind of tough. And even the M1000 to the Superbike. I think from what I've seen of like, probably Cameron Beaubier's bike and JD Beach's bike, there's something going on with the frame on that. The frame's got a little bit more, I don't know whether it's stabilization or gusseting or bracing kind of around the spars underneath the fuel tank. Is that correct? Is yours not like that?
Yeah, the super bikes are different than my bike, like with JD and I think Sean and I think JD.
Sean, yes.
Yeah, Sean Dillon Kelly. I think they all have kind of similar things. I was taking a peek at their bikes and yeah, they've got a bit more gusseting and framing and different stuff. Yeah, that's also on a superbike. And I think if we were on an S in full superbike, I think we could do something similar, but I don't really know exactly. For me, I'm on a stock 1000 and I'm in the Superbike Cup, and the Superbike Cup is on stock 1000 class bikes. So for me, it doesn't really matter. So I don't really think about it that much. There's a few other kind of different things, like with the shock linkage. We're on the S1000, we've got 75 millimeters of rear shock stroke. On the M1000, you've got 50. So there's just a few kind of different things. And you run a lot lighter spring in the rear on a BMW S1000. But it's kind of crazy with some of the different stuff last year. The loads that we were putting on the bike, like at Pittsburgh, normally we would run like a 6.0 rear spring. And on an M, you would generally run like a 8.0, 9.5. Something like that, like more of a standard spring rate, like what you would have on an R6 or an R1 or something like that. The BMW S1000 is just a lot softer, but for me, we were still basically, we were having to run the same spring rate on the S versus the M. And Steve Weir was saying, like, I've never seen anybody have to run this spring rate before. It was your weight. This is crazy. So that's just been a little interesting.
So yeah. Since the Superbike Cup is kind of a race, well, it is, it's a race within a race.
Yeah.
Do you have to be careful to like, or when you go into the race, are you trying to beat the next Superbike Cup guy? And is it hard to like think like, okay, I can't take too many risks trying to beat this superbike guy because the main thing is I got to beat this super cup guy. Does that factor in at all to your thinking?
It's an interesting question that you ask that. So like at this last race weekend at Atlanta, we started 13th and by the end of the first few laps, I think we were in first place, but for me, I'm wanting to do the best that I can. It doesn't really matter. I mean, if there's a guy in front and I can pass him, I want to go and pass that guy. And for me, being able to go and show what I'm capable of doing on a stock bike against superbikes is cool. So started in 13th. After a few laps, I think we were near the first lap, we were 11th. And then was catching a few people and Bobby Fong was in front of me. And was, all right, well, so I passed Bobby going up into turn two. I tried it the lap before where we were going up and basically I was trying to set myself up to the outside of turn two to get him on the flip back. And that wasn't for position. I could very easily just sit back and sit in 12th or 13th or whatever. And it wouldn't really matter points wise, but for me and the inner racer in me, I'm going to do the best that I can and show what I'm capable of doing. As I said, so I was able to get by Bobby and then Josh Herron started coming back towards me. And I was like, man, this is crazy. This is cool. He's on a factory Ducati.
Right.
And again, it didn't really matter, but I got close to him on the braking zone. Posh had an issue, so he went down. But I was behind Josh and almost I broke him into 10. Man, this is kind of crazy. And then got him on the some different stuff. And Loris Baz was kind of coming back too. And at a certain point then, I was in eighth place. You know, there's a few laps to go. The track was drying. All right, I don't really want to do something crazy here. Like you said, we're first in the cup. We're doing well. We're top 10 in Superbike. Let's just kind of not play it safe, but
bring it home.
Don't need to take all of the risks right now.
You know, Nolan, with your situation, so a lot of teams, certainly the factory teams, the decisions are up to the rider a lot of times, but not all the time. Strategy, things like that, sometimes can be the crew chief or the team owner. But you're the team owner. Your crew chief has to defer to you. So do you make your own decisions when you're out there on the track in terms of that? And I assume you have a board that they put up for you, but, you know, you kind of decide what you want to do. Is that accurate?
It's an interesting question. Yeah, for me, running the team, it's got a few more hats to kind of juggle. But also, for me, my crew chief, everybody else, we're kind of all on the same pathway. And if I've got a thought this way, okay. And if they've got a thought this way, it's okay. Why do you think that? And then we'll kind of come together in the middle. They want me to do as best as I can. I want to do as best as we can. And we've not really had conflicting things kind of here or there. It's certainly trying to be as financially sensible as possible. So it's trying to do the best that we can in that regard. And okay, we could spend X, Y, and Z on all of these different things. Would it be nice? Very much so. But also we've got to do all of these other things. So it's for me having to wear a few different hats, but yeah, I know what I know and I know that really well. They know what they know and they know that really well. And I'm not going to try and say that I know somebody else's job better than they do. And if they're thinking something, by all means, it's a group effort and we're trying to come together to get it all together.
So you're staying in your own lane.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
You know, another thing, so I want to point out to your, over your left shoulder, I think it is your R6, which you used to, is that right?
Yeah.
And you used to race that and you gave us a lot of information on what you were doing to that bike. A couple of things you were doing to that bike that I thought found to be extremely interesting is because you're such a tall drink of water, you had these little posts to put the seat up a little bit higher. You did everything you could to get that bike to fit you. And I'm sure it did fit you pretty well, but I don't think you probably do that with the S1000. Does that bike just basically fit you better?
Yeah. Yeah. When the first time I got in the BMW, I got on it tucked in and I was thinking to myself, this is the best fitting bike I've ever been on. I was riding the R6 that, like you said, is over my shoulder, and I'll still ride it nowadays, the go-kart track and do different training things. And I'll ride that. And I remember this last year, I was training at the kart track on the R6. And then I got off and then got on the BMW at COTA for Circuit of the Americas last September. And I got on the bike. I'm like, man, this thing feels huge. Like, I've got so much more room. I can tuck in. I don't have to feel so cramped. This is amazing. I am a little bit taller. Yeah. Me and Corey Alexander are the same height.
Amazing.
But at the end of the day, it's as long as you're still light, it doesn't really matter. And for me, I can move my body around in different ways, which is cool. And loading the bike in different things and the exit of turns. And for me, I find it to be really beneficial when the bike's wheeling, is I'm able to basically change the way that my body sits. And like exiting the last turn at Road Atlanta, being able to get to the outside, for me, it helps feels like I can help keep the front wheel down a little easier. And if we're able to do that, then it's not having to cut as much throttle or use as much wheelie control or as much rear brake or things like that. And I find that to be really beneficial.
You know, Road Atlanta is one of those tracks where I don't think people realize, but when we get there, I hear it from some riders. I mean, there's so many elevation changes on that place. It's such a fast track. Well, when you have a fast track, you also have hard braking zones. And I don't know if there's much harder than going down that hill and, you know, into the final turn before the straight. I don't think I've ever heard you ever talk about having any issues with arm pump. Do you have that issue? Do you ever deal with it?
It's an interesting thing that you ask that. Yeah, Road Atlanta has certainly got a lot of elevation changes. And different riders have different physical things. For me, I do have weird things kind of with my arm, but it's not really arm pump in the traditional sense. And it's not from really hard braking zones. Really, I was also just getting kind of crazy blisters on my hands, but it's more from the S's. So at Atlanta, once I'd go through, I think it's like turn 2B or turn 3, and you start going down the hill. Once I'd go down the hill and I'm on the gas and being fully wide open, it's just a lot kind of on the arms there. But I don't know. Everybody has different things. For me, being able to be a little bit taller helps in those braking zones because I'm able to sit back in the seat to keep more weight kind of over the rear. So if I'm harder on the brakes, the bike's not picking up because I'm able to scoot my weight back. And some of that stuff to me is quite beneficial.
So you're doing stock 1000 still, right?
Yes, correct.
Do you like the races that have both, or do you prefer when, I mean, obviously there's not just stock 1000 without superbike. So if you did have just one, it would be superbike. Does it make a big difference to you doing two or one on a weekend?
So for me, yeah, stock 1000 and Superbike Cup and Superbike, there are different schedule changes and stuff the last few years. And last year we would have full stock 1000 and Superbike. So that would be four races in a weekend. And then on non-Superbike weekends or non-stock 1000 weekends, we'd only have two. And for certain weekends, it's a lot of timing. There's different things. It's nice because we can try more things on the bike. And if we're do this in the stock race and we're struggling with something, then doing this in the Superbike race, and that gives us kind of more time, so to speak, to figure out for the race the next day. But I like basically doing both. It's nice to have all the stuff going on. And for me, showing what I can do and doing double the races that other people are doing, if you were to only race stock or if you're only racing Superbike, it's a lot more physical work that you're having to do. And I think that's quite nice. But on the other hand, it is nice sometimes to only have the two races and not be so busy and hectic on those Saturday and Sunday. The race at Barber, which will be in a few weeks, I'm interested to see how that's going to go, because they're having a Superbike triple header and two stock 1000 races. So that's five races in one weekend. And that's three races in one day on the Saturday or on the Sunday. So I don't know how that's going to work. When we did the triple header races in 2023, like at Laguna, I did two Superbike races in one day on the Sunday at Laguna. And physically, it was great. Had no issues. But on the other hand, I don't know how this is going to go with having three in one day. Just from like the bike standpoint, this is it'll certainly be interesting.
As the team owner, you obviously think about things like this, but having two races versus one race, it doesn't cut your costs in half, because the main cost is all the other stuff that goes with it, right?
Right. Yeah, okay. Exactly. It's the transport, getting the crew there, getting the hotel, getting the room, getting the tires, it's not really that different. The nice thing with the cup is there's some kind of different incentive things, which is cool. That helps from the team owner side. But yeah, it's not really, doesn't really cost that much different.
It seems like there's an influx in Hondas this year in stock 1000, including, I don't know if you consider him your toughest competition, but to me, it seems like Hayden Gillum would be pretty much always the favorite in that class. And he's going to be on a Honda, and he tells me it's quite a bit faster. Does all that concern you? A bunch of Hondas?
Not really. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm focused on my own program. And if I'm looking at what these other people are doing, I'm not focused on what I need to do.
True.
And if I'm doing the best that I can and I'm feeling whatever I need to feel on the bike, and I'm like, I can't get any more out of it, then that's is what it is. It doesn't really matter what's going on with everybody else. Yeah, like you said, Hayden's on the Honda now, and he certainly is a tough competitor. So it'll be interesting. He's ridden, last year was on a Suzuki, and I think he's ridden in Super Stock and Stock 1000 for a number of years. So he's obviously a good benchmark to have, because I think he was racing in Super Stock in 2016 or 2017. So he's certainly been doing it for quite a while. But it's cool to also have such a high benchmark in the class and know just the pace that everybody's doing.
Right.
Have you ever been approached, Nolan, by any teams or about racing in King of the Baggers? No, seriously.
Yeah. Because
you're prototype. I mean, you're prototype for sure. Have you considered it?
Yeah, I have considered it. I've had a few people reach out to stuff. There was a couple things that came up a few years ago. It just didn't quite work out. And I've talked with different people, but for me, my focus is what I've got. Doing the BMW, racing a stock 1000. If the opportunity arises, it would be cool. It's cool seeing how much those bikes have developed. So I worked at Vance and Hines in 2019, going into 2020 as an off-season thing. And then hearing all the stuff with the baggers, and it's been cool to see how much they've kind of grown and developed and changed. And they're crazy bikes now. I remember a few years ago, the thing was happening is the head bolts were stretching. So the cylinder heads were like coming off the bike,
right,
on some of the bikes. And now they're doing 180 miles an hour at Daytona. It's, holy crap.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. Tomwood Power Sports, they obviously are a BMW dealer, but do they sell other makes? And how many locations does that organization have?
Yeah, so Tomwood Power Sports, they do have quite a few different locations. They've got three in Indiana. The cool thing is also they've got one up in Minnesota. So for the race that we have in Brainerd, they're like an hour away, and it's cool. Whenever we race in Brainerd, all the different people that come out and are talking about BMW motorcycles of Richfield, they've got a Ducati dealership up there too. And being able to have that kind of homegrown stuff is super cool, because Tom Wood carries pretty much every manufacturer from Yamaha to Ducati. It's cool with all the different things. And for me, it also gives us kind of a wider range of what we're able to do on the bike. With the Honda stuff, there was some different things, but for me, the BMW has worked well. Got a good program with BMW, and I'm super happy with that. And being able to have the support of Tom Wood's been cool.
Yeah, and just back to visit Indiana for a minute. What do you have some plans this year for anything you're going to do, like activation at tracks, or to push the state?
Yeah, so we've got a few things, especially for the Midwest rounds. We're going to do stuff at Mid-Ohio and I believe Road America. Still working on some of the different details and all of those things, but I think we've got some t-shirts and different things to give away, doing some stuff in our pits, which will be super cool. And yeah, I'm excited to get everything going and seeing how it all goes. I'm working on some other stuff, but it's kind of, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work out. I'm trying to do some stuff maybe in the summer break for the Moto America races, but not really sure quite yet.
Well, I think we're doing well. Paul, where are you at?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot more. I'm looking at all the stuff in the garage right now.
Isn't it cool? I mean, it's cool. It's like, I love it. It reminds me of my garage. There's a lot in there, but it's all organized really well. Nolan, is there anything else you want to mention to any of the fans, or something you want to say?
Really, I just want to thank everybody who comes out to the races. It was super cool at Atlanta, seeing all the different fans that are out there, especially on the Sunday. Yeah, it's cool to see the series growing and doing different things, and I'm super grateful to be a part of it. Win the Superbike Cup championship last year, this year going again in the Superbike Cup and Stock 1000, and I'm super, super grateful for everything and super thankful to all of my partners and sponsors for the team, Visit Indiana, Tom Wood Power Sports, RNG Crash Protection, Castrol USA. It's, yeah, been cool. I'm excited to see how it all goes.
Yeah, I mean, Nolan, listen, you represent your sponsors really well, your family really well, but you also represent Moto America really well for us too. I mean, it's terrific to have you. You give more than almost any rider I can think of in terms of, you know, your time and your enthusiasm is great to see. So you're, like I said, you're a great representative of our sport. It's really great to have you on.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you guys for having me back. Paul, Sean, it's huge. I love doing these different things and sharing some of the other stuff that happens during the weekends.
All right, perfect. We'll see you in, I guess, 3.5 weeks or something, 3 weeks.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, you guys take care. Thank you.
See ya.
See you guys.